McShane Bible Study, we are one day behind, as typically happens after a very full Saturday in the fall. There's a lot to catch up on, so we're going to maybe do a day plus. We're going to start with two chapters from 2 Kings, so 2 Kings 12 and 13 to begin with, and we'll just see how much extra we do along the way. And now we have actually read 2 Kings 12 and 13, and this is mostly history of the kings of both Israel and Judah, and we see, you know, at the beginning of 12, Jehu is still king in Israel, and we see Joash, depending on, there's just two different versions of the same name, starts out as king in Judah. And verse 3 says, "Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. The people continued to sacrifice and make offerings of the high, on the high places."
What are the high places?
Yeah, like mountains, hills, high places. You know, you see Jesus would often go up to the nearest hill to pray also, right? There's something in us that, if you know, it's a kind of it's doing with our body that which we aim to do with our soul, which is to seek God up high, right? So there's something about walking up a hill or a mountain to get close to God. It's not necessary in a way, but just like God has many of the prophets physically act things out to make a spiritual point to the people. Well, there's that sort of thing in our own life, right? If we do something with our body, it's a way of training our soul to do a similar thing, right? So people would climb up mountains. No one ever really told them to. But I mean, well, God did have, through Moses, the people stand on two mountains and yell out the blessings and the curses to them, right? God did have Moses go up Sinai to receive the law, right? So there's both, that stuff is from God. There's also stuff where people just choose, you know, Abraham. Where did Abraham have the thing with Isaac? Where he almost sacrificed Isaac?
A mountain.
It's on top of a mountain, right? Where's the temple created? On top of that same mountain. So there's something in us about high places. And there's some, and a lot of that comes directly from God. But God specifically said when it came to worshiping him in the time of the ark, which was there at this time, to only worship at that specific place as far as presenting offerings. Obviously, everyone is supposed to worship the Lord daily in their daily life, right? And they're not all right next to the ark. But as far as going and presenting an offering to the Lord, that was supposed to be done only at the ark. But people would do it at the nearest high places. And again, Solomon had a heard his great initial hearing from God was at a high place, right? So it's hard to intertwine to what degree this is good and holy or were not allowed, but they were specifically told not to go to these high places, to only go to the ark, and they were continuing to go to the high places, right? I'm just going to call him Joash from here on out. Joash is being taught. He's got a good counselor, and he's being taught, and he tells them to take in money to repair the temple, right? But years and years pass, right? He's in 23rd year now, and the temple is not being rebuilt. And he says, what's going on? And it doesn't exactly say it, but it seems pretty clear the priests are stealing the money. Because the people are giving money, 23 years passes, and there's no money to build the temple. Well, where's the money going? The priests are stealing it, right? That's the only thing that makes sense to me. And so they put in a lockbox that cannot be stolen from, and then the money starts piling up. And then they actually have money to start repairing. And I find this verse odd, considering what we just talked about. Maybe somebody gave a really inspiring or intimidating speech. Verse 15, and they did not ask for an accounting from the men into whose hands they delivered the money to pay out to the workmen, for they dealt honestly. So the people came to be dealing honestly all of a sudden. Joash then dies. We'll read more about him in Chronicles. 23rd year of Joash. Now I'm in chapter 13. Joash, so 23rd year of Joash in Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, becomes king. So we have a new son in Israel. And you'll see it goes back and forth. And they mark time by showing what year of the reign of the king in Israel is it for Judah and vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. 4, then Jehoahaz sought the favor of the Lord, and the Lord listened to him, for he saw the oppression of Israel. Now the king of Syria oppressed him, so he hadn't been a good king, right? They're going after the ways of Jeroboam. Mm-hmm. But he turned and he sought the Lord, but he's king over all the people, right? Mm-hmm. And he sought the Lord, and so the Lord gives grace here, right? Mm-hmm. And blesses him, and there's this mysterious savior that we don't really know about. Verse 5, therefore the Lord gave Israel a savior so that they escaped from the hand of the Syrians, and the people of Israel lived in their homes as formerly. So someone, it's kind of like the time of the judges, right? Someone rose up because the people, what happened in the time of judges? Again and again, the people sought the Lord would raise up a judge, and he would conquer their enemy, whoever it was, the Philistines, the Midianites, whoever was coming against them, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing here. Verse 6, nevertheless, they did not depart from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, which he made Israel to sin, but walked in them, and the Asherah also remained in Samaria. So in other words, God was not super pleased with them. They sought the Lord, and that was good, and he blessed them for it. Mm-hmm. But he did not give them full blessing. This house was going to end, right? Mm-hmm. The house of Jehu was going to come to an end because they did worship the Lord. But they also went their own way. It's kind of like today is October 31st. Christians all over this country are going to go around practicing the practices of a satanic holiday, right? Mm-hmm. And there's probably Christians listening to this who are revolted by that idea and say, I don't do that. But that's actually what it is. Mm-hmm. But people, and we used to do it. When y'all were little kids, we used to do it.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so I'm not thinking badly upon anyone. I'm just saying, have we thought through what we're doing and what the Lord says again and again and again? Mm-hmm. You know, Mommy, I was the one that said, we just cannot practice this anymore. Mommy was against it a couple days ago. She heard something and she was really convicted. Former Satan worshiper was teaching, and he was talking about apparently there's some like high priest of Satanism. I don't know much about that. But he was thanking all the Christians for allowing their kids to trick or treat, because people that worship Satan will pray to Satan over the candy that they hand out to kids. And so you're accepting these things. When you put on the costumes, you're saying, I'm going to participate in the rituals of this satanic practice, mm-hmm. right? Now, all these Christians doing this, and most of the secularists doing this, none of them are thinking, I worship Satan, mm-hmm. right? None of them are thinking that way. Mm-hmm. But they're participating in it, and they're saying mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's not harmful if I do these things, because I worship the Lord. Or the secularists are saying, because I don't believe in that. But what did God say again and again in his word? He said, well, hey, these kings were okay because they sought me. Mm-hmm. But they still continued to go up in the high places. Or in this case, he says, and the Asherah also remained in Samaria. So the Baals mm-hmm. and the Asherah, they said, yeah, we worship the Lord, but it's no big deal if we do this stuff. Our fathers did this stuff. Our grandfathers mm-hmm. did this stuff. And they were good people. I loved them, and they all did this stuff. So this stuff must be okay. But God mm-hmm. says, I hate the mixture. Mm-hmm. Again and again, Old Testament, New Testament, I hate the mixture. Mm-hmm. Don't mix the profane with the holy. Mm-hmm. Right? Is your life for me? Or is your life for yourself? And you just bring me in when it's convenient for you. Mm-hmm. Right? All right. And then Elisha's going to die, right? Mm-hmm. And then the king of Israel at the time comes to him. And he, again, this house, at times, they're very righteous, right? And so this king of, it's Joash now, which is very confusing. There's a new king. It's a grandson of Jehu, who is now king of Israel. And he has the same name as the older king of, the good king of Judah, who went bad in his old age, right? Which I don't think I read, but he ended up being assassinated him, yeah. But then now there's a king of Israel named Joash, and he goes to Elisha, says, my father. I mean, he's crying because this great man of God is dying. So, I mean, you know, he has it in his heart to worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't want to give everything to worship the Lord. He doesn't want to make the hard choices. It's easy to go to church on Sundays. It's hard to say, I'm going to remove the mixture from our family's life, even though people around me will think I'm strange. Mm-hmm. Oh, but it's fun for kids to dress up. Like, we went through this. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an easy choice. But mm-hmm. It's so cute when the kids dress up. Oh, but the kids like candy, and their friends all get candy. What? We want them to be like the other kids. We want them to be able to have fun like the other kids. It's a hard choice. In this mixture, we don't worship Satan. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's okay. It's okay if we do these things. Mm-hmm. You see how Satan works?
Mm-hmm. Can you please stop doing that voice? It's really annoying.
You don't like that voice? No. Well, I'm just telling you, these choices are not easy. Wasn't easy for us. It's not easy for anybody. And Joash didn't want to make the hard choices. He was very, very much wanted to go honor this man of God because he loved God and he was inspired by a man of God, right? Who had helped his family greatly. Put his family on the throne, right? And so he went to him, and Elisha tells him to, you know, shoot the arrows, and then he's mad at him because he only shoots 3 arrows, and he says, okay, you're going to have 3 victories, but you're not going to have complete victory over Syria. And then that's what ends up happening after Elisha dies. And I guess this doesn't tell the story. Maybe it's in the next chapter, or maybe it's probably in the next chapter about Elisha's funky... is it Elisha? Maybe it wasn't Elisha. I think I'm mixing stories. Anyways, Hazael gets defeated. And then it tells us Hazael dies, Ben-Hadad's king in Syria, and Joash defeated them 3 times. And we'll move on. In 2 Timothy, we're doing chapters 2 and 3. And again, so Paul is teaching his son in the spirit, Timothy. He says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he's teaching him to build him up so that he's ready to share with others from the position Paul's taught him of life in Christ, right? Verse 3 says, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So he's going to give 3 back-to-back quick one-sentence examples. And then he's going to end it by saying, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding and everything. He's saying there's deep meaning behind these things. Mm-hmm. You saying that? He says, I'm not going to lay it out for you. Spend a little time praying about it, right? Mm-hmm. And he just gives the example. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. So he's saying a soldier... it's not going to get caught up in the day-to-day arguments that people have or the things that they're doing, because he knows he reports to his officer. He reports to the king, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to do whatever they tell him to do whenever they tell him to do it. So he's not going to get caught up in the day-to-day things of life, right? Uh-huh. He's saying, well, in the same way, if you are Christ, don't get caught up in the day-to-day things of life. Know that your life is for and through God, and be willing to obey him in whatever he instructs, right? 5, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So, because we're going to see, as you just mentioned, there's a lot of people that want to fashion. It's always been the way. Paul and Timothy dealt with it. It's very prevalent today. That people want to grab hold of the way of God. There's two giant religions that have done this. Mm-hmm. You have Islam, mm-hmm. who's grabbed hold of Abraham and Jesus and all the, you know, many other Old Testament figures. And they said, yeah, we believe in all that. But here's the part you're missing. And they twisted it and they turned it away, right? And now there's a billion people that follow that religion. Mm-hmm. Mormonism did the same thing. Oh, yeah, we believe in Jesus. But here's all this extra other stuff. That's in both cases, they introduced a lot of other stuff that is absolutely opposed to what Jesus taught. Mm-hmm. But they said, yeah. In order, so the enemy has no problem with you saying you worship God, as long as you worship him too. Mm-hmm. Think about Adam and Eve. He didn't say there is no God. Mm-hmm. Worship me instead of God. Adam and Eve would have said, you're crazy. No, we won't do that. Mm-hmm. Instead, he said, oh, God's just wrong about this little thing being important. It's not important. It'll be better for you. Yeah, of course you worship God, but it'll be better for you if you eat this fruit and have this extra knowledge. Mm-hmm. Right? It's what he does to all of us. I just mentioned two huge religions mm-hmm. created by that. Well, you think it doesn't exist in the church? Paul's telling Timothy this stuff happens all the time. This stuff is quite prevalent in the church too, where we say, yeah, we worship God, but we also are going to do this thing, and there's nothing wrong with it, even when it opposes God's way, right? So he says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. He says, let's run the race in the way that God has laid out the rules, and then we can win the race. You can't win a race if you get out there with your friends and you say, we're going to run to the end of the cul-de-sac, see who wins. And you say, okay, well, I'm going to start at the midway point. And then we'll all go at the same time, right? You don't get to win the race that way, right? Mm-hmm. Well, same with God. God says, I set the rules. I set the way. If you follow my way, you will win the race. If you create your own rules, you don't get to win. He'll let you. Go on. Mm-hmm. Go on. Have your fun. This life is yours to do with what you want. But if you claim me but play by your own rules, you get your own reward. Uh-huh. If you claim me and are constantly looking to grow in and live by my rules, you'll get my reward, God's reward, right? Mm-hmm. 6, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Well, mm-hmm. the farmer works hard. He makes beautiful crops. He's going to sell most of the mm-hmm. crops. But he gets to enjoy the part that looks best for him and his family, right? Mm-hmm. Paul's saying, if we give our life to God, mm-hmm. he's going to bless us in the sweetest, most wonderful ways, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we give our life. I mean, I didn't highlight the suffering. Like, there's suffering. There's dying to self. There's all that, right? Mm-hmm. That's a part of it. So I'm in no way, this isn't a prosperity message. Mm-hmm. But is there prosperity in the Lord mm-hmm. through the suffering? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. So here it is. You know, like, present yourself to the Lord each day, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. So there's no shame in standing for the Lord, even when it's different from everyone around us. Mm-hmm. Because we are the Lord's. Mm-hmm. And there comes a time, and there is coming a time, when the people around us will be scared and they will need truth. And we will say, we stand for the Lord. We always have. Here's the truth. We're not mm-hmm. shaken by the things you're shaken with. Right? Mm-hmm. Verse 20 and 21. Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, so what he's saying is, look, there's going to be people around you mm-hmm. that are saved. They're going to end up in heaven when they die. Uh-huh. but they're going off in their own ways. So they're a part of God's house, mm-hmm. but they're not the best part.
Mm-hmm.
So there's stuff for daily use, okay? Mm-hmm. So when if we're aware of areas where people are falling short, it doesn't mean that they're not going to be in heaven after they die. It just means God can't use them for the highest best that he's about because they've decided to go their own way. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
He says, but there are things for honorable use. 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, if we clean out the mixture from our lives,
mm-hmm.
he will be a vessel for honorable use,
mm-hmm.
set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
22, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. So he said, I think I mentioned the other day, I think we were in Daniel, and I said, oh, I would argue about this, and then I quickly caught myself, and no, I wouldn't argue about it. What's the point of that? If someone doesn't agree with my teaching, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Go your own way. You don't have to accept my teaching. I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything. I only want to teach those who want to learn. I have no desire to teach anyone who doesn't want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're against me, then fine. Go ahead. God bless you. I have no problem with you. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy. 24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. It's kind of self-explanatory. And then chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, starts speaking about the last days, and he starts talking about all the ways people will be running around, the ways of the world, the ways of the flesh, the ways of the enemy, right? And we can look around us and we see, oh yeah, that's exactly what people are doing. 5 says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. He talks about scripture being, you know, breathed out by God, that we mm-hmm. receive the life of God as we take in his scripture, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing right now. He says, we'll be persecuted when we live for the Lord. These are all things I highlighted last time, so I'm not going to take a lot of time. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. As we continually seek the Lord,
mm-hmm.
as we breathe in his life, his word,
mm-hmm.
as we continue to seek him in prayer, get mm-hmm. direction, training, then we're ready for whatever
mm-hmm.
that he or the enemy sets before us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or just the world, you know? Okay, let's move on. And now we're in Hosea 3 and 4, and I guess we have a theme, because this is obviously the whole theme of Hosea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is, look, I love you people, but you claim me, but you're a prostitute. You go after all the ways of the world around you while still claiming me, right? So we're going to do Hosea 3 and 4. Hosea 4, 17 says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. But going back to 3, verse 1, and the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. God is showing through Hosea,
mm-hmm.
and it's his message that I will have these people back, even though they have lived for other things. They've lived for themselves, mm-hmm. they've lived for the world, they've lived for the teachings of Satan,
mm-hmm.
whether they call them Baal or Asherah or Halloween or mm-hmm. Easter or all the various things that used to back then or still today creep in to the worship of God,
uh-huh.
right? He says, look, I still love these people and I will take them back. But we see in verses 4 and 5, For the children of Israel shall dwell many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or pillar, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they shall come in fear to the Lord and to his goodness in the latter days. Mm-hmm. So it says the people, there'll be complete judgment. What did God do? He judged the people of Israel, and he removed the kingdom, right? The kingdom was no more, and he built them back with a remnant, right? These pictures are important. It's God's plan. The New Testament is very clear that this is the plan, like the great falling away. Jesus talked about it. Paul talked about it. But also, we see here a people coming back. We just read in Daniel that the wise will teach many. There will be these shining lights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of people who are walking in the ways of the Lord, who've been trained up and understand the Lord's wisdom, the Lord's truth, the Lord's ways, who can teach these coming back. And we see people coming back to the Lord who want the pure, undefiled teaching of the Lord. Right? I no longer want to be in mixture. Teach me the ways. Right? We see him streaming back. Okay. And so that's what, you know, Hosea did live this out with his wife, right? And let's see what going on in chapter 4. This is a famous verse, so I highlighted it. 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Callum? No, sir. You can go play with her outside, son. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. He said, so a priest, that's, you understand, many times I read the Bible, I didn't fully get this. If you're a priest, you're a son of Aaron. You're not only a Levite, you're the best family in the Levites. You're a son of Aaron, right? A relative of Moses. You are given the responsibility and the honor of representing God to the people, right? But God says, you know, this makes clear, we have the New Testament, we fully understand. Like, look, if you don't represent me, you won't keep representing me. That's not how it works, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what God has done through Christ is there's no special family in the flesh anymore. Right? There was, though. This is the context. They were the special family. Everyone, oh, you're a priest? Like, you're in a special family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God still has that.
Uh-huh.
It's still real. But it's now spiritual. It's not of any family because of their blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's in families because of the Lord's grace and because of that family saying, I want you above everything else, Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone has free will, so everyone can continue on this way. What God wants is that these families do propagate multi-generationally, that the ways of God are taught, and that others come into the family that have nothing to do with the blood, but they are of the family of the Spirit of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
The blood of Christ has made them one family, one blood, not of which race or which family in the flesh, but that they are of this family of the Spirit. You see that?
Uh-huh.
Verse 6, let me start over. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Obviously, we see he's looking for a people that choose him and his ways. And that's how he's going to fulfill his purpose. For all of this, everything that exists has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
All of mankind have a purpose. And God has not forgotten his purpose. The Old Testament, the New Testament, everything points to these things must happen. Sitting around and waiting for Jesus to return as if these things aren't going to happen is to think God's an idiot. And he forgot what he was planning to do. He's not an idiot, and he hasn't forgotten. He's going to do these things. But he needs a people who say, yes, Lord, I want you and your ways. And Lord, help me die to every other way. Right? All right, that's good. And we're finishing in we just discussed Jeduthun, who is mentioned as the one who wrote this down, the Psalm of David down, Psalm 42. We'll apparently encounter him four times in Chronicles. He was one of the choir masters of David, I just looked up. And this starts out, the first two verses, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." So it tells us, I thought it told us something. Maybe that was the next one. Anyways, so he's trusting in the Lord no matter what, right? So he says, no matter what comes to me, I will not be shaken. Four, the only plan to thrust... he's talking about other people, right? Other people that are causing difficulty. The only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. So we've just been talking about that, right? Taking pleasure in falsehood. Mm-hmm. It's easy to do in this world. A lot of times falsehood, things that are not right and true according to the Lord, that momentarily feel good. They seem fun. Uh-huh. David's pointing those things out. And but then he turns in verse 6, talking about God. He only is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I shall not be shaken. So I trust in the Lord and his ways only, no other ways. And I do love how this this Bible study is, you know, it's a Bible in a year plan, but we're doing Psalms and New Testament twice. And
does that make sense?
Well, it's good because, I like it. The last few verses are the ones I highlighted last time, but this time I focus more on the beginning because it kind of goes more with what we've been talking about. Psalm 63, this is the one where David's in the wilderness of Judah. And he says, starting in the beginning, "O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." So he's in a place where he doesn't have much water. Mm-hmm. That means there's not much food around, right? Mm-hmm. Food's hard to find when there's not much water because the life that's there is hiding in there. There's not a whole lot of life. So it makes you hungry. It makes you thirsty. It makes you irritable. It makes you desperate in the flesh, right? Mm-hmm. But David's saying, I thirst for you alone, God. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm hungry for you alone. You're the one that provides everything. So this is just my flesh making me aware that I need more of you, God. Like he's turning what's happening to him in the flesh as a reminder to turn his heart, his mind to the Lord. 2, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. Your love, your life is better than anything in this natural world, Lord. So I give everything to you. Lead me and guide me in whatever. Teach me, show me, correct me the ways in which I've gone astray that I can be corrected. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just a simple correction. Sometimes it's hard because I got to die to myself a little bit. And I don't want to die to that part of the world, that part of my flesh, because I like that part. Mm-hmm. But Lord, I know your way is better. Your way is better than life. And so, Lord, I'm willing. Help me to turn away from these things that I can receive your fullness. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Now, that's all I have for today. You have anything else?
No. God bless
you. God bless you. Willow, do you want to throw in a God bless you?
God bless you.
All right. Oh, yeah, that was definitely a praise and worship there.